Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to God's Resurrection Bible Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Kellen. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are excited and we are delighted. The Lord has allowed us to enter into another Sabbath day. And we are so grateful. So grateful. Because there are many that were here with us that are no longer here with us. They have crossed over into a new dimension. But the Lord has kept us. He has kept us in the land of the living. And we are grateful. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was meditating on this word. The Lord has given us. We want to minister on today. You know, you have to keep doing and doing what thus says the Lord until he calls you home to be with him. Hallelujah. You just can't stop. Things are going to happen in your life to frustrate you or make you give up, make you throw in the towel. But you can't let that happen, because most of the things that happen that want you to throw in the towel is instigated by the devil, by Satan himself. He set up things to frustrate you, to make you not do what thus says the Lord. But in spite of all that he does and try to do, remember that the Lord has called you and commissioned you to do his will. So today, we are going to partake of Holy Communion as the Lord has commanded us here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Before we go, let us pray over this sacrament. Father, we bless this weed of the field and this fruit of the vine, which represents your body and your blood that was broken and shed for us. We ask you, Father God, even as I lay hands over these articles, that you would transform these from the natural to the supernatural, that as we partake of these, Lord, we will partake of healing for our natural body, even as your word is spiritual healing for our soul. Paul, continue. He says, "After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had said, Stop sin, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till it comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be judged, should not be condemned with the world, Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us eat and let us drink in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, okay, Lord. We're going to be here every day as the Lord put breath and give us strength to minister the word of God. We are so blessed to be in the land of the living, and we will not let no man or no woman hinder us from doing what that says the Lord. We have experienced so much things in Barbados, and we see young people, just like here in America, dying, not knowing the Savior, the Lord. And we have an opportunity to minister and send the word way out over the airwaves. We're somebody that we may never get to meet, or we may get to meet if the Lord determines that we should. But we are grateful. We are grateful that he has chosen us for this time, for this season, to do his bidding in the earth realm. Hallelujah, glory to God. We always like to say there were many that started with us way back in 2010 and on that are no longer with us, but we are still on the wall. We are like Nehemiah, because we know what the Lord has said. Glory to God. He says we have to take up our cross daily. Daily. Hallelujah, glory to God. And follow him. He said we got to deny our father and mother, our husband and wife, our sons and daughters. We have to deny the things that we so much in love with and follow him. We are going to face trials and tribulations as we follow him. Glory to God, because it's not easy. Hallelujah, it's not easy. Jesus didn't have an easy way, and we will not have an easy way. Hallelujah, glory to God. We just want to worship. Worship and bow down before him for a little bit, and then we're going to come in and break this bread as the Lord has given us to break. Today we're going to be talking about the unrighteousness of man, the rejection of God's law. The rejection of God's law. Hallelujah. Let us go into worship. Will your heart say yes? heart and your soul say yes. Yes to his way and yes to his will. Glory to God. We were excited to be here. We are excited to be here. Feeling tired this morning, but I wanted to just let the line stay down this morning, but the Lord says no. So I was going to just do this message on tomorrow if the Lord say the same, but the Lord says get up and put it on here. You know, because it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him, what he wants done. The world is turning upside down, and God is calling for soldiers that are willing and ready to go forth. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. We thank you for blessing us with the gift of life. Lord, you didn't have to. You could have let us stay on and sleep on into oblivion, but you brought us in out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, O God. We are not taking this lightly. You've chosen us, O God, to be your mouthpiece today. Father, we ask you to use our tongue, use our eyes and our ears of clay, that we might see and hear and speak your truth, that it will be none of us, O God. None of this flesh will come forth, O God. Only of the Spirit. We ask you to have mercy on us, to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and that you will lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Oh, we are excited about this word. I tell you that we are in a time that God is just bringing up everything that need to be spoken into our spirit man. So today we're going to be talking about the unrighteousness of man, the rejection of God's law. The unrighteousness of man. Subtitle, the rejection of God's law. And the first scripture we want to release today in your hearing is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Two verses there that the Lord want us to put into your hearing this morning. And then we're going to go to the book of Romans chapter 2 and chapter 1. We have a lot in this that we want to release today. We might not get it all in today, but the Lord will. If we don't, we'll come back to more of the Lord say the same. Here in the book of Romans First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Paul speaks to the Corinthian church. Paul writes about the transformation that should occur when someone chooses to follow Christ. People should not continue in their former sinful ways of life. Paul further clarifies that why believers should attempt to settle disputes among themselves, those outside of the faith community will not be part of God's kingdom. The description of unbelievers in verses 9 and 10 reveals the unrighteous character. Their unrighteous character. Such persons are not qualified to judge God's holy people. Here in verse 9 and 10 he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immoral people, no idolaters, no adulterers, no passive homosexual partners, nor dominant homosexual partners, nor thieves, nor greedy persons, not drunkards, not abusive persons, not swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 13 right out. Let's do verse 11 also. And some of you were these things, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says that we were just like them. And we know this is true. We were committing, if not all, some of the things that Paul mentioned in this text. I'm looking at the Logos Bible. Hey, hallelujah. So Paul makes it clear that no unrighteous man or woman, no person, unrighteous person, let's put it that way, will inherit the kingdom of God. If you are living a righteous lifestyle, a promiscuous lifestyle, and you are still going into church, living and dabbling, and think that you're going in, you're going to inherit the kingdom, that you're going, you know, people are, they're gossipers, they're liars, they're cheaters, they're doing all this stuff, but you'll hear them say, oh, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody say, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. No, you know, not according to this word of God. It's all over this book. It's here to tell us how God expects us to live. And what happened is that we have come to a place that we believe that we are so righteous that we can just slip and dip. We can slip and slide, that we don't have to follow everything to the T. We pick up what sounds good or feel good to us, and that's what we do. And we prophesy that we are this and we are that. But God says, I'm looking at your heart. I'm seeing what's in your heart. I know what's in your heart. What you speak with your mouth is not in your heart. Your heart and your mouth is not lining up. So Paul says to this, he says, for in 1 Corinthians, I'm looking at, he says this so clear. I was looking at Romans 6 there. But he says so clear, let's go back to the scripture and look at it in the King James Version. He says, chapter 6, in verse 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were you, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Paul said it's a change that's taking place in each and every one of us that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about spiritual, because the flesh still has the filth. The filth is still in the flesh. This is why we are tried and we are tried every day. But if we continue to focus on the things of God and righteousness, Satan would not have the benefit or the power or the dominion over us, because we are trusting in God and we are operating in his way and in his will. Here in Romans chapter 2, verses 1, 2, the Bible is skipping back and forth. It's on the computer. Let's go up in here and see what we got. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. We want to do this old book because this is what God showed us on last night. And we were looking at some pictures that we had taken with Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart and the late Prophetess Misha and Bishop James Washington and Apostle Washington. And there was another apostle, I think it was, or a bishop. He was from Texas or somewhere there. He was visiting Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce's ministry on that Sunday, and we went all to a place, a restaurant, to fellowship. And I was looking at those pictures yesterday, and it just brought back so much to my spirit, you know, good stuff to my spirit. So I post a couple of pictures on the web, and saw that Prophetess Kershey was tagging some of the pictures. And as a matter of fact, she liked the pictures. Here in this book of Romans chapter 2, now we're talking about the unrighteousness of man, subtopic the rejection of God's law. In other words, man has become so unrighteous, and they are rejecting all truth. They're rejecting everything that God had the men of pen down, holy men, pen down this thing in the word. And today, men and women, boys and girls, are rejecting what God is saying. Even some people that are teaching and preaching the gospel, supposedly teaching and preaching, because what they're preaching is not the gospel, it's not the truth. They're preaching a half-truth. And God said we have to expose them every chance we get, because they are sheep in wolf clothing. Listen to what he says here. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you pass judgment on someone else, you condemn yourself, for you also are passing judgment, one doing the same thing. Remember, we talked about David yesterday. We spoke about David, and David said that the man who done this thing shall be put to death, surely die. And Nathan told him that he was the one. He was passing judgment already from what the prophet had spoken to him. Hallelujah. We are only supposed to declare what God says. Only declare what God says. If there's people that are teaching and preaching heresy, we have to expose them, because they are preaching error to God's people and leading God's people down the hill of destruction. That don't mean we hate the preacher. We hate what he's preaching and teaching, what she's preaching and teaching to God's people, not the truth. It's not coming out of God's word, coming out of their flesh, because they want to look good. They want to look like they are all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, when they're not. They're not even the chips. Listen to what he says. Now, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who do such things. But do you think this, O man, who passes judgment on those who do such things, and who does the same things? Thank you. That you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the wealth, kindness, and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. This is, oh my God, that is so powerful. Ooh. In this chapter, Paul shifts the focus from the guilt of the Gentiles to the guilt of the Jews. After describing God's judgment on Gentiles, non-Jewish, who had rejected God and refused to acknowledge him, in chapter 1, of Romans, verse 18 to 32, Paul now describes God's judgment on Jews, or those who have the law or knew the law. He makes the point that having the law does not justify people. God will judge both Jews and Gentiles according to their works. Paul makes it very clear. Some folk plead because that they're behind the big altar, the big podium, they're up on the big fancy altar, that they have it going on with God. Even though in the late times, in the darkness of the evening, they're slipping and dipping. They're doing their own thing. What makes them feel good? God sees everything in dark. Sees everything in the light. Paul says here in Romans chapter 2, he rebuked them of their stubbornness and their rejection and the refusal to repent. He says, who will reward you, each one according to his works, verse 6, but for those who by perseverance in good works seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who act from selfish ambition and who disobey the truth, but who obey unrighteousness, wrath, and anger, there will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, of the Jew first and of the Greek or Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and to the Gentile or Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Now see, God don't pick and choose. He's looking for righteousness. He's looking for holiness. That's what he's looking for. He's not picking you because you live on a hill. He's not picking you because you live down the valley. Hallelujah. He's looking at your heart. Are you determined? Are you determined? Are you willing to live? The reference of you in somewhat ambiguous at this point, it becomes clear that Paul is referring to specifically the Jews without excuse, just as Gentiles are without excuse for suppressing the truth of God. Chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Jews are without excuse because they do the same thing they condemn others for doing. You remember the Pharisees and the scribes? They fuss at folk for working on the Sabbath day, but they do the same thing. They go down and take care of the sheep and the goat, the mules and everything on the Sabbath. But they fuss with people, especially when Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. But, you know, Jesus said, if you had 100 sheep and one had got away, wouldn't you leave the 99 and go look for the other one? Call them hypocrites. He said that they're doing the same things. They pass this judgment. The Greek word used here, kino, refers to condemning someone. Those who judge inappropriately assume a role that belongs to God only. Later, Paul will warn Gentiles, Christians, not to pass judgment upon Jewish Christians who feel compelled to maintain certain dietary customs. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. The same things refer to the sins listed in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 31. Paul criticized self-righteous Jews because their hypocrisy and self-deception. Ironically, when such people pass judgment on others, they also pass judgment upon themselves because they do the same things, Romans chapter 14, 22. It's important for us to focus on the word of God. What does God say? What would God say in the situation? Is he compassionate? Is he merciful? Is he kind? He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So we have to not get to a place and feel like we have arrived, that we are better than anyone else because now we are going to the church on Sunday morning. We're going on Wednesday night. We're going on Friday night. We're going on Saturday morning. Every time the doors are open of the building, we are there. It does not make us holy. We have 14 different versions of the Bible. It does not make us holy. Hallelujah. When we walk in obedience, total obedience to God, when we are doing all that God said to do according to his word, we're walking in holiness. We're living in holiness. But some people are reading You know, I'm not here to judge anybody. Some people are reading and studying every day. But when they come to their neighbors, they don't treat their neighbors with love. They don't have compassion. They don't extend mercy and grace to their neighbors. I remember one time I was driving on the highway, on the street. I know, probably 20 minutes from my house. And a lady overtake me. I mean, she just cut me off so sharp. I had to jam all my brakes in another truck I had. But on the back of my truck, I had clergy in a very big, it was a big sticker that I got from the Christian bookstore when I was in Washington, D.C. I went over to Prince George's County, Maryland, and I went to the Christian bookstore, and I bought that sticker, and I put on my, and it was beautiful. But do you know that the sticker would make me be chastised? So when the lady cut me off so sharp and I almost wrecked my truck, I would have been wrong, you know, even though she cut me off, because I would have hit her in the back. And if you hit somebody from the back, even though they cut you off, you're considered wrong. So when I got a chance, I just overtake her with high speed, sharp. But the lady saw the sticker on the back. No, I'm telling her and telling the world that I belong to Jesus. Do you hear me? I'm saying this with my with the sticker on the back of my car. But my actions, my lifestyle did not speak that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So now the lady comes up to me after I cut her off, and she make a signal. I thought she was going to tell me, well, sorry, sir, I didn't mean to cut you off so sharp. You know what the lady said to me? She said to me, I don't believe that you are driving like that and you are a man of the cloth. I want to tell you that I felt like a cockroach. If there was somewhere that I could hide at that particular time, I would have hidden. Because we always hear the people say, two wrongs don't make a right. You got to know who you are and whose you are. And because that the folk are acting unseemly, you don't act unseemly. You're representing God. We are representing God. Hallelujah. We don't go against. We don't act like them. This is what Paul is saying to the church here in Romans. He's speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Hallelujah. Once we receive the covering of the blood, we cannot act like the people anymore. Kindness of God. Let's talk for the verse 3. He says, that you will escape. Do you think you would escape? The Jews Paul addresses might feel that they will not experience God's judgment because they have the law and are in a covenant with God. Verse 3 talks about, verse 4, it talks about the kindness of God, refers to the Jewish people experience God's goodness. But Paul also refers to God's kindness in chapter 11, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. The term is used in the Septuagint translation of several Psalms, including Psalm 25, verse 17, and Psalm 145, verse 7. Forbearance and patience. Paul describes God's patience in delaying judgment and punishment of people who sin and break the law. Paul cautions against the Jewish assumption that the experience of God's goodness and mercy would exclude them from God's righteous judgment. He is a righteous God, faithful, holy in all his doings. Listen to me. No one is going to escape judgment. If you continue in doing what pleases God, you're going to experience a righteous judgment. And if you continue in sinning and rejecting the things of God, you're going to experience the wrath of God. That's the judgment you're going to experience. Condemnation. Listen to what he said. This is so, so powerful. I mean, God's word. He says here in verse 8, but to those who act from selfish ambition and who disobey the truth, Listen to what he's saying. But who obey unrighteousness, wrath, and anger? You don't want it any plainer than that. Plain. If you disobey the truth and you obey unrighteousness, the wrath and anger of God will come upon you. There will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil. Of the Jew first and of the Greek. Why of the Jews first? They should know better. They knew the law. They knew the law. Some Israelite was telling me, he says, the problem that's with the church is that the church is rejecting the law. I went over and did some work for him on Tuesday. And he says, said, Rev, you know what's wrong with the church? He said, well, the church is not growing. And he was focused on one particular our body of believers. And he said, the reason, big fancy church, apostle, $1.5 million building. I mean, beautiful building. Many, many bathrooms, kitchen, everything inside there. It's beautiful. Got two sanctuaries upstairs. The upstairs sanctuary is not finished yet. But big, beautiful sanctuary with got the baptism pool in the altar. Beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. They don't believe in the Old Testament. They don't believe it. And this is why they have so many people in the church that are doing everything that's contrary to God's word. We don't teach no more. We don't teach any more about the Ten Commandments. Because we believe the Ten Commandments is done away with. We're under grace. And people believe that because they're under grace, and we are under grace and mercy of God, it's true. But folk believe that because we're under grace, we can continue sinning. And what Paul said about that in Romans chapter 6, what did he say? Hallelujah. I never got that on the table, but I got to pull it up now because I ain't even got it on my notes. Paul speaks on that particular scripture. On that scripture, he says, what shall I say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace be abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, folk are running off. They're under grace and sinning like crazy. Because they think that grace is always going to be extended to them. I mean, you got a dog that you keep hitting with a stone. You keep hitting that. I'm using this analogy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You keep hitting that dog with a stick or with a stone. That dog is not gonna continue and let you hit him all the time and just run and bark. No, let you know that you hurt him. One day that dog is gonna turn around and bite you. It's the same way with how folk treating God. Sinning all the time, going up in the house of the Lord, sinning all the time. No, one day it's not, grace is not going to be there for you. Here he says here in this text here in Romans chapter 2, Paul is speaking to us, awful word. He says, verse 12, for as many have sinned without the law, not knowing, will also perish without the law. And as many have sinned under the law, knowing the law, will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be declared righteous. This is why we got to teach the whole truth, not a half truth. We have to teach the whole truth. We're delivering what sounds good or feels good or make the people say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Bishop, you're preaching good. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Evangelist, Pastor, Teacher, Deacon, you're preaching good. That's what we want to deliver. But what about the ones that make the people squirm in their seat? and want you to end your message fast. Can we preach that kind of message? My pastor used to say, preach what thus says the Lord. If you want to leave, you're welcome to leave. I'm not holding anybody hostage. If you want to leave, leave. He says, if you got to go put your chicken in the oven or put your spare ribs on the grill, go on, go on. I'm still going to preach what thus says the Lord. And that's what it is. And this is what we got to do when we come upon the altar. Preach, he says, for whenever the Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things of the law, these also, they do not have the law, are a law to themselves. Listen to them. See, a lot of people are operating under the law. They're walking according to the law, not knowing, and it's accounted to them. They're not knowing. And if they sin not knowing the law, guess what? They will be charged according to the law. This is what he says. For whenever the Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things of the law, these, although they do not have the law, are a law to them, who show the works of the law written on their hearts. Yeah, my God, that's so powerful. Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts, one after another, accusing or even defending them on the day when God judges the secret things of people. Listen to this. This is so sweet. According to my gospel, through Christ Jesus. Paul said, look, listen, listen. They're going to be judged. Everyone going to be judged. According to your actions, that's what he's saying. And if you live a bad lifestyle, you're going to get judged the same way. The wrath and anger. The use of these words together intensify the idea of God's punishment of the wicked. This punishment stands in contrast to the eternal life granted to those who obey God. The affliction, the Greek word used here, thlipsis, may refer to suffering experienced from condemnation on the day of wrath. Jews first, and the Greeks, and of the Greeks. Jews are first because God gave them priority in blessing, verse Romans 9 and 4. And they were the first people group that he personally visited and called his own. But this also means that he will give them priority in judgment. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans chapter 10 verse, chapter 2 verse 10 talks about the peace. The Greek word used here, eirene, refers to perfect well-being that comes from God's righteous work through Christ. Paul says there's no partiality in Christ. The word prosopolipsia describes meaning, making unfair distinctions between people and treating some better than others. God does not show partiality. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. He judges both Jews and Gentiles on the same basis, according to his words, and according to their works. Romans 2 and 6. Paul is attempting to convince some Jews that God will not overlook their sinful activity just because they are, because of their ethnicity. Because they are Jews. For as many as have sinned without law, refers to the Gentiles, they are not sinless merely because they do not know the requirements of God's law. Later, Paul argues that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. And that sin existed before the law defined it. Romans chapter 5 and 13. The law refers to the law of Moses, the commandments that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai, Exodus 20 and 22. Paul refers to this law throughout Romans chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. The parish, the Greek words used here, apolyemi, refers to suffering the wrath of God and therefore experiencing eternal separation from God. Paul contrasts those who perish despite not having the law with those who experience eternal life. Verse 7, as many have sinned on the law refers to the Jews who know the requirements of the law and orient their lives around it. Listen, hearers of the law. It probably refers to Jews who expected that their understanding of the law would spare them from final judgment. No, knowing the law is not going to spare you. It's living the law. Living according to God's commands is what's going to spare you. And being under the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you can know the law and reject Jesus and still be punished. For rejecting him, he's God. You understand? So a lot of people say, well, I know the law. You know? I walk according to the law. But I don't believe Jesus is God. I reject him as God. Well, you're not going to get him. Why are you not going to get him, Apostle? Because he's the door. If you reject the door or the gate, how are you going to go in? There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. It's common sense. You don't have to be a rocket science to know that. You read the Bible 7 days a week, 24 hours of the day. But you're still saying, well, I don't believe Jesus went to the cross. I don't believe he died. I don't believe that he was in the grave 3 days. I don't believe that he rose again on the third day. And you believe you're going to heaven. You believe that you're going to sit next to Jesus. That you're going to get there. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. No. Because you bluntly refuse him, you reject him. I'm talking about unrighteousness of man and the rejection of God's law. We live in a world now where the people don't want to hear anything about it. They believe that what they're doing is just, or it justifies them because they say it is their own body. You hear the women saying, oh, well, this is my body. I can have abortion anytime I get pregnant and I don't want to birth the baby, give birth to the baby. I can have abortion. Because this is my body. You can't tell me. You don't have the right to tell me what to do. So they're defying God. What God says, to be fruitful and multiply. They're defying God. They're rejecting God's law. And they're mad with you if you tell them that they're sinning. They want to kill you. And now the way that the DOJ is set up, that even if they kill you or hurt you or maim you, they don't even get charged. They're going the nighttime, the police arrest them. The next morning, they're out walking the street. And you are maimed. You have stitches in your body. You had to go to the hospital. You may be in the hospital fighting for your life, but they're out walking. Because the way that the government is set up now and the leaders of the nations are siding with Satan's agenda. What did they do? They take what God used for a covenant for the world, the rainbow, and they use it as their banner. Can you even think about it? And people take it lightly. What God set up in the sky as a bow, as a covenant between him and all humankind, mankind. He told Noah, I will never flood the earth again. And this is my sign. This is my covenant sign. And they're using it for them. What a abomination for them to do that. See, because why? They're rejecting God's law. They're rejecting God's law. They're operating on righteousness. Here, let's go back and get a little bit more on this. He says, Paul talks about, quoting James, and he says, hearers of the law probably refers to the Jews who expected that their understanding of the law would spare them from final judgment. Doers of the law, a correction for Jews who taught that knowing the law was enough to escape final judgment. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. The law has to be acted upon for it to have its effect. Hallelujah. How are we going to say, well, I know the Bible? Yes, Apostle, I know from Genesis to Revelation. I know all the scripts. I know where the books are located. I know the verses. But I don't live one of them verses. I preach them, I teach them, but I don't live one of them. You're a fool to think you're going to make it in. You will come before the judge. And he would say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. You might scream out how much the word of God has drawn people to the kingdom that you preach. He said his word will not return void. So we preaching the word and people are getting saved, people are getting delivered, people are getting healed, but guess what? We're living a damnation life. And we come before judgment because we haven't repented. We think we were all that, a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, because we got the robes, we got the ring, we got the headpiece, we got the staff like Moses. We live in the life like we are the people. We are the person God called. We acting out. But truly we're not living the part. Hallelujah. He says, clear righteous in this context. The Greek word used here, the kill, refers to God issuing a verdict by which he considers a person to be right or just in his eyes on the day of judgment. Paul's point here is to clarify who is righteous. For Paul, the hearers of the law, that is, those who possess the law, the Jews did not have a favored status before God. Instead, the impartial God will justify only those who meet God's requirements, verse 6 and 7. This leads to Paul's larger point of why there is absolute need for saving work of Jesus in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 to 26. Listen what Paul says in this text here in Romans chapter 2 and verses 10. Let's look up there and see what he says. Paul and the King James Version. We have to read the Word of God and study the Word of God to see what God is saying. Paul says, Romans chapter 2, verses 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the one that worketh good. Paul is saying this. It's in the word of God for us to live out the life, live out the word. Let the scriptures come alive in our ministry. Let the scriptures come alive in our daily walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul began to speak this thing, verse 14. He says, a law to themselves. Although God did not give the law to the Gentiles, some of them do what God requires in the law. This suggests that people have a natural moral sense or conscience. In other words, they got some people that has never read the Bible. But guess what? Their lifestyle declare what's in the Bible. Their lifestyle. Let me see what we got. We got a little bit more time. Their lifestyle declare this. Written on their hearts. Paul borrows the language of Jeremiah chapter 31, 33. To assert that Gentiles have a sense of right and wrong. Although they do not possess knowledge of God's will in the law, the Gentiles have a natural sense of morality that functions as an internal law. At the same time, Paul insists that the human conscience is weak and prone to corruption, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, verse 10, And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 29. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and 15. My God, so Paul does not mean an interpretation of the gospel that is unique to him. His point is that the gospel he preached upholds the law by insisting that all humanity, all will be judged according to the obedience to the law. Paul makes this thing so clear. I'm telling you, he broke this thing here that a fool could understand. And see, when he says this thing, you have to look clearly at verse 16 and see what it says. One day when God judges the secret things, let's go back a little further. He says, verse 15, and come down to 16. Who shows the work of the law, talking about the Gentiles, on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts one after another, accusing or even defending them on the day when God judges the secret things of people according to my gospel, Paul says, through Christ Jesus. Now we go back here and he says, my gospel, Paul does not mean an interpretation of the gospel that is unique to him. His point is that what he preaches upholds the law by insisting that all humanity will be judged according to the obedience to the law. You see, yes, the law is a schoolmaster, and we have to follow what the law is saying. Jesus said he did not come to abandon the law, but to fulfill the law. So we still have to honor what the law is saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in verse 17, he says, if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are superior because you are instructed by the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of those in darkness, and instructor of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having the embodiment of knowledge and the truth in the law. Therefore, the one who teaches someone else, do you not teach yourself? My God, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. You said you have the law. You said you know the scriptures. Well, if you say you are just a New Testament church, are you living as a New Testament church? Because remember, the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament, and the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. So we ought to be living this thing that gives God glory and honor. We ought to be walking out this thing. Doesn't mean that your flesh or flesh is not going to show up in times to put us in a bad place. That's why we got to keep this flesh under subjection. Because the enemy, Satan, the devil, Diablo, the Beelzebub, he is still trying to pull us into darkness with him. He don't want to be in darkness by himself, because where he is, there's no light. There's no light. And he's trying to pull us from doing the will of God, teaching and preaching, and living the will of God into the dark place that he is. That's why the Bible says that they prefer darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In John 3 and 19. B, they love darkness. You see them people come out at night, they're half naked. Their breasts is jumping off the place. They got the Mardi Gras, they got the carnival, they got the what they call back in my country. It's just a carnival. They got it called, they call it crop over. You call it Mardi Gras in your city. Or you call it carnival in your city. Trinidad call it carnival. In our country, we call it the crop over festival. That's been after the harvest, the sugar cane. And the women come out there, the breasts, you can see their nipples and everything. They got a little G-string on and a little string pass up between the two cheeks, butt cheeks. And you can see the behind just shaking, jumping where they call twerking. They don't care. They don't care. And some of the same people that you see on the streets, my sister Abby said, you're going to stay here for a while. I said, no, I didn't really come for crop over. Hopefully I'll be back in, I can get back there in November and celebrate with my sister Christmas. We should have big dinners and all the family. It's only my sister now. You know, I got cousins and nephews there, but they're my sister of my mother's womb. I want to go back in December if the Lord say the same. But they're on the streets. They don't care about no law. Some of the folk that they pastors on the street. They are praise and worship leaders, choir leaders that are on the streets, women and men. And they're dancing, and some of them have their markings on their face, like satanic markings. You know how Mardi Gras hold the paint up themselves. And they, all this stuff they got on them, they're not thinking about the law. Thinking about is having a good time. And in that time they're having a good time, they're rejecting the law of God. As I said here, the unrighteousness of man and the rejection of God's law. They're doing their own thing and make them feel good. We might not get to chapter 1 today, but we'll get to it tomorrow. The Lord say the same. So, because I want to work this scripture the way the Lord showed me this last night. Here, let's jump on down to verses 21. Therefore, the one who teaches someone else, do you not teach yourself? We read that. The one who preaches not to steal, do you steal? The one who says not to commit adultery, do you commit adultery? The one who abhors idols, do you rob temples? Who boasts in the law by the transgression of the law? You dishonor God. For just as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. See, when we as preachers and we begin to live contrary to the word of God that we are preaching, the word of God is blasphemed. It is blasphemed because of us. They say, well, the pastor do this stuff, we can do that. The pastor living contrary, so we don't have to obey the law. We don't have to do that. And they're going to do it. He says, for circumcision is of value if you do the law. But if you should be a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And Paul was talking about the flesh this time, because the circumcision was of the heart. But when we get circumcised as a child or man, now we're circumcised for hygiene purposes, you know, to keep yourself clean. But now the circumcision, God is not looking at your foreskin. He's looking at your heart now. So here, therefore, if a person follows the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be credited for circumcision? And the uncircumcision person, by nature who carries out the law, will judge you, who though provided with the precise written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. For the Jew is not one outwardly, nor is circumcision outwardly in the flesh, but the Jew is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, whose praise is not from people, but from God. This is so powerful. The name of God is blasphemed when we don't live out the law. Paul concludes that Jews do the very thing that the ungodly do. Dishonor God. The law doesn't exempt Jews from judgment. Knowing the law doesn't exempt us. Living the law, being who God says we are. We say we are ambassadors, but we're not living the ambassador life. This is heavy. This is not a jumping message. This is a message for each and every one of us that know God out there in computer land. Whether you're in Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Egypt, Pakistan, wherever you are, Brazil, Barbados, Trinidad, Jamaica, Antilles, Guyana, wherever nation, country you are in the world. This is for us as leaders, as preachers, to examine ourselves. every single one of you out there in computer land. This is not to judge you, but it's for us, including myself, as first partaker, to examine our own walk, our own life. How do you treat people? One person told me, said, don't give to the poor. Don't give to them. They can get a job. I said, do you think they're going to get a job going to somebody's office smelling like a dead rat? I said, you think somebody going to get them a job when they just got up out of a cardboard box, didn't brush their teeth for days, didn't have access to a toothbrush or toothpaste, didn't have access to soap or water? You think somebody going to bring them in the office and say, look, I'm going to give you a new suit, go in there and take a shower, get your hair cut? They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. So God says, while they're living the life that they're living, I need that. When you come across them, bless them. Give them food. Give them drink. And if possible, give them clothes. Give them shoes. Put shoes on their feet. I got two brand new. I just saw them yesterday. I gave away brand new shoes when I went away. But I just noticed, got two brand new pairs, size 12. I ordered these shoes. I read size 11. And they sent me the wrong shoe, but I had to pay. It cost me too much money to send them back overseas. If the company was here, I could send them back and get size 11. But I come and I said, this box. I said, let me look in this box. I got two brand new shoes, two brand new pair of shoes, genuine cowskin leather. I mean, soft as silk. I said, well, somebody can wear them to size 11. So I got to look for somebody that wears size 11 to give them to. Not to sell them, but to give them to. Size 12. Listen to what he says, Paul. Paul is speaking so brilliant. He says, the name of God is blasphemed. Paul quotes the ancient Greek translation, the Septuagint, in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5, to describe the negative outcome of breaking the law. God elected Israel as bearers of his promise to bless the nations, so that the Gentiles might call upon his name. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 to 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Instead, the Gentiles blaspheme God's name. When we act like the world acts even worse. You got preachers getting tattoos and piercing themselves in their... In between the homosexuals and the lesbians. They're not talking about Jesus. They're not trying to evangelize. I mean, when I saw the evangelist was evangelizing in London and the white lady spit on him, a black man, a black African guy, and he's talking about Jesus. He says, you can spit on me, but I just wanted to let you know that Jesus loved you and Jesus wanted to save you from this damnation, abomination that you're living. I said, wow. Wow. Excuse me. I started praying for strength for when I go there evangelizing. Because we're living in a time that when you come from behind them four walls, that folk going to try to hurt you because of the Jesus that you're preaching. Because of the love that you're not preaching hatred. The love that you're preaching, because Jesus is love. And when you preach Jesus, you're preaching love. Folk going to try to hurt us. Are we going to fight back? Are we going to take up a weapon and try to take them out? Or are we going to keep preaching with the sword of life? There's 66 books, the sword of life. It cuts going in, it cuts going out. That's why the people act so crazy. That's why they act so out of vain. They act that way when we start to preach the truth in love. Because the truth disturbs the darkness that's in them. The truth is light. Hallelujah, glory to God. And they're going to come after you. He says, circumcision, the practice was closely connected to the covenant and to the Jewish identity. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Paul argues that circumcision loses its value for those who disobey the rest of the law. Circumcision proves that a person did not act out of ignorance when they transgressed. They knew the requirements of the law and still broke it. The outward sign of circumcision does not reflect faithfulness in the inward life. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. You folk have the circumcised, but it does not reflect that they're living holy, that they're living righteous, that they're standing for God's law, they're standing for God's commandments because you are circumcised. Hallelujah. Circumcision of the heart emphasizes genuine loyalty to God, becoming obedient with mind as well as body. Paul alludes to the prophecy of Jeremiah, who warns the people of Judah to circumcise their heart, Jeremiah chapter 4 and 4, Jeremiah 9, 25 and 26. Christ is the one who does this work in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2 and 11, Philippians chapter 3 and 3. Hear what it says, by the Spirit, not by the letter. This might represent a contrast between the new covenant, the Spirit, and the old covenant, the written code or letter, Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. Paul describes the transfer from life unto the law to life under the Spirit. The contrast also refers to the inability of the letter to change the heart and the transformative work of the Spirit in the believer's life. Romans 7 and 6, 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Not from people, but from God. Reminiscent of Jesus warning in the Sermon on the Mount not to practice righteousness to be seen but by others. Matthew chapter 6 and 1. See, this thing has to come by the Spirit. This thing is not by the letter. Paul says it's clear that the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So this thing has to come. It has to come by the Spirit. Let's go to chapter 1 so we can get a little bit of chapter 1 in here. Well, let's save chapter 1 for tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll bring this back in tomorrow too. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is right on the money. God sees all, knows all, and can do all. His word will cut you like a sword. It will cut you going and cut you coming. Go to Psalm 62. We'll do the rest of this tomorrow. Psalm 62 and, yes, Psalm 62. It's to the chief musician, Jedutun, a son of David. And he says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, David is saying that he trusts in the Lord, depending on the Lord. He's relying on the Lord for his strength. God is his protection. He said, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bow in wall you shall be, and as a tottering fence. You see, as a wall that's collapsing, bent, a fence that's falling over, you shall be. They only consult to cast him down from his excellent seat. They delight in lies. They're blessed with their mouth, curse inwardly, Selah. Some people will speak word over you, and they will tell you how much they love you, but in reality, they want to see you die. They want to see that everything that you hope to accomplish fall apart. Some people are like that. They're not real. Now, let's finish out this, and then we'll close up. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from him. My help, I'm looking to God for my help. My help comes from him and him alone. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, my people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He is a place of comfort, a place of shelter. Surely men of low degree are vanity, useless. And men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity, useless. Trust not in oppressions, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, thrice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. I bless you, O God. I pray today that we have spoken your truth in love. And I pray that someone here and somebody will hear and somebody will receive. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this chance to receive him. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I've heard the word today, and I'm touched by what I heard. I now reject and denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I come to you today, Jesus, with great expectations, knowing that you are the only one who can save me, who can deliver me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I repent today of my sins, and I'm asking you to have mercy upon me. In the mighty name of Jesus, have mercy on me. If you have just said that very simple prayer and you believe what you said in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts, Gospel of Acts, and study. Remember, I said study. You got to study. Meaning to go over and over and over till the words start to take root in your heart. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but now you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Invite them to come and part of this great time, your life, the greatest time. You'll never have another time like that. Get yourself involved. You're going to go down in this water. We call it a liquid grave. And then you go in that water, you're leaving everything that's not of God. Everything that hindered you, everything that kept you in bondage, in sin, want to sin, you're going to leave in that water. And when you come up out that water, you're coming up in the righteousness of who Jesus is. Find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and tell the preacher that you received the gift of salvation and now you want to be part of what God is doing. Understand? Get yourself involved. You got to be involved. You got to get connected. You got to be part of great work, that great commission that God has ordained. Allow God to use you. I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. I'm feeling a little tired, a little drained right now. So we're going to get up. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word. We ask you to bless the four corners of the earth. Bless those that will hear this word, and let this word move upon the hearts of the men and women that hear this word. Let their lives never be the same, Father. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, O God, for deliverance. We pray for restoration. We pray for healing. O God, we pray, God, that you touch Pastor Bishop James Washington, Apostle Linda Washington, Apostle Millie Jefferson. Touch their families, O God. We pray, touch President Pete and Fraser. And Father, we ask that you bring healing and deliverance and restoration. Touch Minister Andrea Baptist, Lord God. Touch Evangelist Sheila Hard and touch Evangelist Baxter, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Pastor Brown, touch Prophet Jackie Tissel. Lord, we are praying that you touch Evangelist Tina Woodson. Lord God, move in your spirit. Oh, touch Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. God, have your way in the atmosphere. Touch Apostle David Mulwer. Touch, oh God, touch, oh God, Evangelist Romella. Yeah, Lord, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you touch, oh David, and Yana, Lord God, we ask, God, you touch now and heal, Lord, add to their ministries. Oh God, cause their ministries to grow and flourish, oh God, with power and authority in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. We are praying right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. That God, Father God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strict fellowship of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you. And God give you peace. In Jesus' holy name, have a blessed weekend, a safe weekend, and a prosperous weekend in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. I love you, but remember, God loves you more. In Jesus' name.